As the war with Iran stretches past the 100-day mark, Wisconsin's two U.S. senators remain deeply divided on what it's accomplishing and how to bring it to an end. It's Friday, June 12th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, small businesses are booming in Wisconsin, but hiring for those businesses remains slow. And we'll meet a Wisconsinite who takes photos of the stars and planets.
This is an 8-inch Richie Chrétien astrograph, which is to say it's a reflector telescope.
Stay with us.
Wisconsin Public Radio brings the state together. With reports from our 8 bureaus around the state, WPR is your connection to the pulse of Wisconsin. We are your source for in-depth news from Wisconsin, the U.S., and the world.
With the war between the U.S. and Iran surpassing 100 days, Wisconsin's U.S. Senators Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson are diametrically opposed on what should happen next. Rich Kramer reports on what they told WPR this week.
Yesterday, President Donald Trump vowed to hit Iran very hard and take over its oil and gas industries. Hours later, he canceled the military strikes and said an agreement between the nations could be signed in days. Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin told Wisconsin Today the war has accomplished nothing but higher prices for Americans. She and fellow Senate Democrats have been pushing votes to end the war. Baldwin said the effort is gaining momentum, referencing the U.S. House vote to do the same this week.
Unfortunately, Wisconsin's Republican congressional delegation voted to keep Trump's war going, but we're trying to put everyone on record and bring this war to an end.
Republican Senator Ron Johnson backed the war and Trump. He said higher gas prices are painful, but he's hopeful it's short term. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin's congressional Democrats, meanwhile, are calling for the federal scholarship tax credit to be repealed. U.S. Representatives Gwen Moore and Mark Pocan joined their colleagues in Washington, D.C. yesterday to introduce the Keep Public Funds in Public Schools Act. The bill would repeal the Educational Choice for Children Act. When the program starts in 2027, people can receive up to $1,700 in tax credits for donating to nonprofit scholarship-granting organizations. Pocan says the program will mostly benefit children attending private schools.
We know that 75% of the people who get any of this benefit already attended the school. It's not like you're encouraging education in any way. It's just you're giving a tax break to some of the wealthiest.
Republican gubernatorial candidate Tom Tiffany supports the program. Democrat Missy Hughes says she does as well. Iron County officials held a ceremony yesterday, capping off a years-long effort to protect 1,100 acres in northern Wisconsin. As Danielle Kading reports, the $5.6 million purchase will preserve lands surrounding the Guile Flowage.
The Guile Flowage spans roughly 3,400 acres in Iron County and stores water for downstream hydroelectric dams. In 2019, XL Energy approached the county about selling excess lands. Iron County Forest Administrator Eric Peterson says the area resembles the boundary waters of northern Minnesota and protects 18 miles of shoreline from development.
It's there for the public use, for recreating, for camping, for hiking, and just the protection of all of the forested wetlands that surround the Guile Flowage.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration awarded over $4 million for the project. The county also secured around $1.5 million from the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program that expires at the end of June. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin saw a surge of new small businesses coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, but many have struggled to grow into larger companies. A new Wisconsin Policy Forum report finds that small businesses accounted for about 95% of Wisconsin's job growth from 2010 to 2025. The report also says the number of small businesses in Wisconsin increased by 20% from 2020 to 2025. It found Wisconsin has kept pace with the nation in business creation, but lagged behind when it came to employment. Scott Manley is with the business group Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. He says companies are facing high costs that make it harder to grow.
Taxes, regulation, healthcare costs are large financial drivers for businesses.
Even so, the report says Wisconsin had a better 10-year small business survival rate than the nation. Open government advocates are raising concerns about a Wisconsin Department of Corrections policy that restricts when inmates' calls can be recorded. Under that policy, a prisoner could get in trouble if they allow their phone or video calls to be recorded by a third party, unless it's being done for law enforcement purposes. DOC officials cited several reasons for the ban. They said recorded calls could be used to spread coded language. They also said victims could be re-traumatized by hearing the recordings. But Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council President Bill Leaders called those reasons, quote, speculative and questionable.
The DOC is a highly secretive agency, as government agencies go, and it regularly asserts that certain things can't be shared, certain contacts can't be made.
Leaders says the ban poses problems for broadcast journalists who often use sound bites to tell stories. Wisconsinites looking to renew their vehicle registration now have the option to buy a state park admission pass at the same time. Avery Martinez reports the Department of Natural Resources and Department of Motor Vehicles worked together on the program.
The agencies hope the new program will encourage visits to state parks and keep registrations up to date. DMV Administrator Tommy Winkler says the service has been available since June 2nd.
A soft launch to the public, and in just over a week, we're at nearly 5,000 state park passes customers have purchased via this online service.
And passes are available at physical offices. DNR Secretary Karen Hyun says park passes are required on all vehicles stopping in state parks.
And here's the one thing most people don't know. Wisconsin State Park and Forest 12-month admission pass revenues go directly to operations and maintenance of these properties. This network of properties is completely self-funded.
It takes about a week for them to come in the mail. Avery Martinez, Wisconsin Public Radio.
I'm not kidding. I just renewed my plates this week and saw that that was an option. Pretty cool stuff. Coming up, a Madison astrophotographer explains how he uses technology to explore the, quote, gobsmackingly gorgeous deep mysteries of the universe. Stay with us.
There's a certain spirit about being a Wisconsinite.
On Wisconsin Weekend, we celebrate that by exploring the stories that make the state special.
And we meet people doing interesting things who don't always make it into the headlines.
Connect with your Wisconsin community on Wisconsin Weekend.
Saturday afternoon at 3 and Sunday morning at 10 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about exploring the depths of space.
Photographers tend to spend a lot of time with their subjects. For astrophotographer Rick Wayne of Madison, his subject for much of his life has been space. What started off as an interest in taking better pictures soon became something much greater, a sense of glory. And on one clear night, Alexandra Salmon joined Wayne to take photographs of the night sky.
Okay, so this this here is a tracking mount. It's an equatorial mount. This was two checks from Grandma Lynn's worth of money, and maybe a little contribution from my wife, too.
That's Rick Wayne, software engineer by day, amateur astrophotographer by night. We're at the Yana Astronomical Research Station in Brooklyn, Wisconsin, surrounded by crickets, owls, and a clearing in the trees with a perfect opening to the starry night.
Not to snow you with tech talk, but this is an 8-inch Ritchie Chrétien astrograph, which is to say it's a reflector telescope.
So with the images that you produce, is that what is actually out in space if we were to be space?
That is a terrific question. If you were out in space and looked at it, you would see nothing because these gases are a pretty good vacuum. But part of it is also because the camera is integrating. There are only a few photons hitting the sensor every second, and your eyes can only integrate about a quarter of a second at a time. So the camera can do it for, you know, hours if I tell it. Technical reasons, you wouldn't do that. Something like the Andromeda Galaxy, which is just in an image with lots of integration time, it bursts with color and it's just gobsmackingly gorgeous. In most telescopes, it looks like, oh yeah, there's some fuzzy stuff and a couple of stars there. And that's what most of these deep space objects look to the eye. And it would be pretty much the same if you were out there in space, even close up looking at them. This part, this can here, is a thermoelectrically cooled monochrome astro camera, which means that it's just taking in photons. It doesn't care what color they are.
Mm-hmm.
This in front of it is a filter wheel. And if you look, you can see one of the filters there.
The images are obviously, I mean, they're so beautiful. And I wonder if you ever feel like looking up at space does something for you that looking around here on Earth doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's stuff going on up there. You don't get a sense of the forces at play in the universe and the really deep history. You can't see that on Earth. The old Carl Sagan saying that we're all stardust. You know, every atom in our bodies that is higher up the periodic table than iron was built in a supernova explosion, or else in the Big Bang. That's the only place those atoms come from. And yet here we are, you know, we're tiny little insignificant specks of matter, and yet that's our whole world is built out of stuff that came out of supernova explosions.
That's wild.
It is. And looking up there, you know, you get thoughts like that when you do it.
Alexandra Salmon is an independent radio producer who lives in Madison. She brought us that story on astrophotographer Rick Wayne. And what you're hearing now, sonifications of Hubble images converted into sound by NASA. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, a quick check of your forecast to wrap up the show. Just a quick note, tens of thousands still without power in southeastern Wisconsin this morning after another round of storms ripped through yesterday. Hope everyone's staying safe out there. Cooler and less humid today, with highs only getting into the 70s and 80s, little windy as well. Overnight, rain starts to move in once again with lows in the 50s and 60s. Rain starts in the north tomorrow, then makes its way south with highs in the 70s and 80s once again, and even cooler for Sunday. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Please leave us a rating and review. I love hearing your feedback and seeing where you're listening from. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.